your heart still smoking. Call me at the station. The lines are open.
Thank you very much. That was You Turn Me On, I'm a Radio by Joni Mitchell. And it was sung by Tanya Bowra. Was that you singing?
That was me, Andrew. Hello.
Thank you. In Melbourne, I am not in Melbourne, which is why I had to ask the question. Tanya Bowra with Louise Perriman, Verna Sanzoni, and I believe Rachel Gaudry playing the guitar. Is that correct too?
No. Actually, it's Tanya playing the guitar too.
Oh, right. Okay. Well,
she does everything.
I've been given a bum steer there. Well, anyway, thank you very much. It sounded beautiful. And this was part of last night's show and will be part of the forthcoming show in Sydney and in Brisbane. And I suppose where we have to begin is this enormous output of Joni Mitchell, which, well, it's got it. It's more than 40 years, isn't it now? That's a lot of music. How do you bear to leave out all of the stuff that you must leave out?
It was very hard, Andrew. This is Verna speaking, by the
way. Thank you. You're going to have to identify yourselves to the ladies and gentlemen at home as well, because they can't see you either.
Okay. Verna Sanzoni speaking. Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
She was waving then too, everybody.
Could anyone see me? Well, there was a list sent out to all the singers when we first began choosing, and there were a few tunes that I personally really wanted on there, and luckily one of them got on there, and I'm singing it on the show. I won't tell everyone what it is, but I'll save that for the show.
Why? Oh, go on, you can tell us.
There are people because it's a special surprise.
There are people in Perth listening to this. They're not going to be at your show.
All right. And since you put it like that, it's Hegira from one of my very, very favourite albums of all time.
Called Hegira,
that's right. So luckily that got on. And but yeah, in a show that goes for one night as opposed to 3 days, you have to cull because we could do a show for 3 days.
Yes,
with all the amazing Joni material.
Did you fight over these songs? I mean, there would be surely some that everybody wanted to do.
No, we didn't fight. We would never fight. This is Louise, by the way, Andrew.
Hello, Louise.
Hello. No, we didn't fight. We had some elegant discussion. Go.
Right.
That's the best way to
negotiation,
put it.
Diplomatic, yes, and all of that. Yes. One of the things, of course, is very striking about Joni Mitchell is the sound of her voice. It's in some ways it's as striking today as it was back then, although it's a totally different voice now. She sounds more like me, in fact.
That was the great thing too, actually, because our voices are very different and quite distinctive, and it's almost like somehow we managed to cover off a lot of her material. So the songs that each girl gets to do, it's very, very much suited to our voices. So
we're drawn to songs of Joni's as well, and different. This is Tanya, and drawn to different periods, perhaps. Yep.
Yes. Well, Tanya, there were a couple of things you did in that song then that were kind of, you know, echt Joni, weren't there? I mean, you could have been her on a couple of moments. That lovely floated high note at the end, for instance, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of more latter-day Joni tone for me this morning. But I'm brave enough to go there. That's very much a part of Joni's sound, wasn't it, the first half of her career.
Is Joni's sound part of your show, or is it something which, in a way, you avoid? I mean, impersonations.
Oh, I wouldn't say that we're impersonators at all.
This is Rachel speaking now. Mm-hmm. We've got the very close to the original arrangements, and within that, the singers are sort of doing their own thing vocally and just being themselves vocally. So
I think though too, for me at least, I was drawn to Joni in a lot of different ways, but very much about her relationship with her vocals and her guitar. And I think, with all honesty, if you love something deeply and for a long time, it's going to come out of you, just like she says in one of her songs, you know, part of you pours out of me. It's just what actually happens. You actually, little moments of that love of her music just come out and she gets evoked.
Is that song a case of you in the show as well?
Oh, yes.
Good,
good. Not telling you who's doing
I haven't seen the song list, you see, so I don't actually know what you're doing. You mentioned the guitar, Tanya. She's sort of famous for having this open tuning, which maybe somebody would like to explain what that actually means. And I'm interested to know how you think it affects her songwriting.
Yes, very, very much so. She calls them chords of inquiry. So translating that to us, yes, chords of inquiry. They're suspended or unanswered chords. And it's her adventure, it's her exploration of the open chord that then will set the landscape for her song. And then she gets to have this open tuning like this, and then she'll try different funny things with it, or a lot of blues guitarists do that, and then they end up doing those licks which are very identifiable as blues. But Joni is very, very adventurous with these things, and so she will end up with really quite unusual chords that as soon as you hear those chords, or as soon as you hear a couple of chords next to each other, it's just immediately identifiable as Joni Mitchell. And this is what all her contemporaries always marvelled at as well. You know, she hung out with the guys who were the it thing, all the Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young people at that time. And they were just in absolute awe, and, they were devoted to her, and they knew she was in another stratosphere. Mm. Even to them.
And the melodic lines come out of those chords?
That's a good question. I would say so.
Yeah.
As someone who does that as well, I would say that tends to be what happens. You do a chord progression and it makes something happen for you. But she's also such a strong lyricist. Mm. I wouldn't want to predict, how that thing happens for her.
And something that we've really noticed, I've really noticed, and I chatted to a few members of the band about this, in actually performing her music and breaking it down and seeing what it's made of, the arrangement and what she does with her bars and her meters, is that there's nothing regular about it. She's really just suiting the music to the song, to the lyrics, you'll be doing a cycle of, say, eight bars of something, and the third time you do it, there's a bar of seven or something odd like that, a bar of seven, eight or something. So it's really quite challenging music in that it's not standard. It's not like learning a jazz standard in that it's a known language and you just sort of learn one, and it's kind of a bit like the last one except the bridge is different. It's not like that at all. It's kind of a new journey every song.
A new journey.
A new journey.
Some of the songs that it's very difficult, I find, to separate the lyrics from the melody. They seem to be so much of a piece. And I'm thinking of a song like, I don't know whether this one's in the show, but The Last Time I Saw Richard, which is obviously not in the show, where the rhythm of the song, of the vocal line, is totally conversational.
It could be
somebody sitting in a dark cafe telling you this story, and the melody goes with it.
What can we say about that?
Let's move on to something which is in the show, shall we? Will you tell me how wide have you cast the net in terms of the 40-odd years that Joni Mitchell has been writing and recording songs?
Well, I guess this is Rachel speaking, we sort of started off with the earlier, more acoustic-based material, and we move through the jazz-infused era and sort of finish, I guess, with her albums in the 90s.
So most of the career. Most of you have at least a toe, if not a foot in jazz. What do you make of her as a jazz singer?
Oh, so much facility and harmonic understanding, obviously orally, if not technically, if not intellectually. I mean, she's not someone that I would think of as a jazz singer in inverted commas, but that's sort of a hard thing to define, I suppose.
But the period when she was hanging out with Pat Metheny and Jaco Pastorius.
I mean, she really fused a lot of styles. I don't think you could possibly take out the jazz influence, even though she's not in what you would call the traditional jazz genre, so to speak.
They kind of called it jazz folk, didn't they? It's almost like something that she named.
Just like her chords and just like her arrangements, it's really her own thing that she's created, this incredible...
And inspired some of the greatest jazz musicians around her. again, with great reverence and just, you know, riffing off each other because they knew her music is complex enough to get jazz excited.
Yeah. And I also think just from listening to her compositions and listening to her sing that she would have had a really improvisational quality. That would have been a really strong part of the way she wrote, I'm sure.
Well, her ear is so great and so tuned in. And, I mean, I don't think she doesn't read music. It's all done by ear.
Really?
So it's amazing that...
Yeah.
She just basically soaks in everything around her, doesn't she, and interprets it for us.
We also shouldn't forget that she's a very, very fine painter, and I think that's as a lyricist, but also even just from an abstract point of view, they're just there are people like that who really do. They just take in so much, don't they?
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that. I mean, of course, she's responsible for nearly all of her album covers, isn't she? And it's an aspect of her work which, to be honest, I've not really considered very, very much. But they are very distinctive. And do you think there's a relationship between those images and her songs?
I do. I mean, I think she actually wanted to be a painter. That was her intention. And she sort of got thrown into... music or sort of taken away. She became successful at it and that kind of took off, and I think now she's actually moving back to doing what she originally wanted to do, which was her painting. And I've got a DVD of her performing with sort of like a musical concert with all her paintings around the space. And
when are we coming to your place to see that?
So yeah, I think she's, and her lyrics are so visual and I think that's a huge part of her music, and maybe it's what makes her such an extraordinary artist, because she really is, she's just so sort of creative on so many levels.
And I did hear her say in an interview that she really needs to have a period of painting after she records an album, like she needs to change the crop that's growing. She needs to kind of do the music and then give that a rest and reinvigorate herself by painting, and then vice versa, etc.
It's a nice way of putting it.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
You've got a show in Sydney on Friday, and then the following Wednesday, 4th of November, at Brisbane, QPAC, and you're going to do one more song from the show for us now, another early one, Big Yellow Taxi. Thank you very much indeed, ladies, for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Nice to chat to you.
They paved paradise, put up the parking lot.
Shaloo, bop, 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 bop.
Paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
Shaloo, bop, 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 bop.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
Thank you very much indeed. That was Tanya Bowra, Louise Perriman, Vienna Sanzone and Rachel Gaudry, who are the stars of Joni, a tribute to the legendary Joni Mitchell, together with Katie Noon and Wendy Matthews and Kristen Berardi. And you can find them at the Sydney Opera House Concert Hall next Friday and at QPAC in Brisbane on Wednesday, the 4th of November. And there's more Joni around tonight, in fact, at the York Jazz and Soul Festival in Western Australia. Helen Matthews, Annie Neal, Kristen Abbott and Georgia Mooney have had a very similar idea, and they're performing there tonight at York. And if you can't get to any of these, but you haven't had enough Joni Mitchell, then don't miss Into the Music this week, which is part two of Both Sides Now, a portrait of Joni Mitchell. You might have heard part one last week.